The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Celebrating the win for the game before the series, before the series, before the World Series. But when you vanquish the Yankees, that's really sweet. Red Sox get theirs. The many ain'ts of New York. And the Dodgers put their title on the line for one game tonight versus the Cardinals. What do you say? What do you know? We'll do a full-on autopsy and cremation of these Yankees in a second. First, for starters, sixth inning. Stanton mashing another. And third base coach Phil Nevin sending Aaron Judge here. Dead meat thought he was dead meat. Stanton standing on second, cursing, is the image of the Yankees' season. Pablo, I'll start with you. Would you have sent Judge, and is this what tilted this game in favor of Boston?
The answer, Tony, is no, I would not have sent Aaron Judge. And yes, I do want to send Phil Nevin into the sun. That is where I'd like him to go next. And the reason why I say this is because if you were watching Aaron Judge, and again, we didn't have the benefit live at home, but you watch the replay and the guy decelerates twice along the base paths. First decelerating into second, then again into third, because he's trying to be cautious knowing that there is one out. And guess what happens? If you get him on second, maybe that's, you know, not what you want. You want him to score, sure. But guess what? You survive. The odds aren't such that you need to take desperate measures as Phil Nevin was trying to do there. So no, with all the hindsight and all the foresight, the answer is no, you don't send Aaron Judge, who, by the way, is not particularly fast.
And do you believe it tilted the game, or was it already Boston's game, Pablo?
I mean, look, Gerrit Cole not lasting more than two and change, like that tilts the game as much as anything. But this one felt like a thing that was going to be very good that ended up being nightmarish.
Ramona Shelburne, bring you in here.
Look, you know who was up next, Pablo? Joey Gallo. What'd he do in the first inning? Struck out on a check swing, an 11-pitch at bat. What'd he do when he finally got up? Meek little pop out to third. I think the part of the send there, part of Phil Nevin's thinking there on the send, is I don't have a ton of confidence in Gallo right now, and I'm going to force the action. If you watch that play again, I know you're watching Judge on the base pass and when he slows up, right? But when the play comes in, that throw from Kike Hernandez was not a great throw. We're all saying, oh, what a great relay throw. It was not a great throw. Xander Bogaerts made an amazing adjustment on that, okay? He takes three steps to get a perfect hop on that throw that bounces in the outfield towards him. I understand the send there. The thing is, that's what Nevin does. He is a very aggressive third base coach. They lead the league in outs at home. 22 outs at home this year. This
You're saying that like it's a good aggressive thing. They lead the league. That's a problem. Aggression. They lead the league. I'll bring it to Donde. What did the Yankees in last night, Jay?
Aggressively bad.
What did the men? Yeah, you go back to pivotal moments. I'd say it was more the 1-2 count, two outs. Gerrit Cole can't get that third strike, walks the batter. Next batter, Xander Bogaerts hits home run. That changed the game, I think, more than that play. I don't have a problem with trying to score a run when it takes a perfect throw to get you out and when you only had one runner, one at-bat with runners in scoring position the whole night. That was as close as you were going to get to home plate. So you know it. You might as well go for it.
The Red Sox mowing through the Yankees again. I mean, the Yankees pulled out all the regular stuff. Let's bring Bucky Dent out. Aaron Boone is in the dugout. That stuff doesn't work anymore. Look at the New York Post headline here. No. Red Sox, the Yankees, daddy. So Gerrit Cole didn't work out last night, as Adonde said. Home run or nothing hasn't worked for this franchise for years now. Kevin, Aaron Boone said after the game the league closed the gap on the Yankees. What gap is he talking about? And is that an indictment of Brian Cashman? And is it time to just tear down this franchise and rebuild it some different way?
Well, first of all, you don't tear it down. I mean, I know New York Yankees fans believe that they have a birthright to the World Series, and they've been to two World Series and won one in the last 20 years. But this is really problematic. Remember, when Aaron Boone was hired, people like Pablo were scratching their heads going, wait a second, this guy has no managerial experience. We know he's been a hero for us. Yeah. We know he's been a great baseball player, but no managerial experience over the guys that were in the on the list as possible hires. So that has come back to haunt the Yankees, it appears. They've got too much talent on that team. He cannot come out and say the rest of the league has caught up with them. They are above most of the rest of the league. They need someone who can manage them in September and manage them in the postseason. And it doesn't look like Aaron Boone right now is the guy who can do that.
Pablo Torre?
Yeah, look, I want to give credit to Aaron Boone here. Maybe the happiest moment of my Yankees fandom was the 03 ALCS, Tony. Aaron Boone against the Red Sox.
That's a long time ago, Pablo.
A long time ago. And you know what else hasn't happened in the 4 years that Aaron Boone has been with the Yankees? He hasn't won a World Series, as Kevin Blackstone astutely has pointed out. And I hesitate to be overreaction guy because I know that Aaron Boone in that same span has had the third best record in the entire major leagues, which is true. But the point is, the last time the New York Yankees allowed a manager to have a fifth season without winning a World Series was 1922. And far be it from me
wow.
to think myself too good for the roaring 20s, Tony. But yeah, I'm not about that. We need a standard that is a little bit psychotic because that is where we are right now as fans.
Ramona Shelburne, what is the franchise's biggest problem here organizationally? Is it the players of the field? Is it the manager? Is it how the team is constructed? They embraced analytics in one certain way. Has the game left that way?
Look, the Yankees have done a good job of getting stars there. They always have. But winning in 2021 is an entire franchise activity. You have to have organizational depth up and down the up and down your farm system. And, you know, when you have your bottom hitters in that lineup, I mean, it was a just fell off a cliff there for the Yankees. They couldn't get anything going. You know, they had DJ LeMahieu hurt. That's why Joey Gallo is in that spot. You don't have enough organizational depth. So the Dodgers, the you're trying to figure out how the heck the Giants are winning 107 games this year because they have organizational depth. They get, you know, all these different outfielders come up. Right. Lamont Wade, have you ever heard of him? Came out of AAA this year, and he's been great.
Jay, Don, I'm going to ask you a question about the Red Sox here. Any part of you think, now that they vanquished the Yankees again, they can size up Tampa in this next series?
Well, the Yankees aren't the measuring stick anymore. You hate to break it to them, and guess what? The Rays are more what baseball looks like in 2021, and can the Red Sox bullpen go toe-to-toe with the Rays bullpen, who are built for what postseason baseball is about now, which is the bullpens, and I'm a little skeptical.
Mm-hmm. Now we get to tonight and the surreal matchup here. After 162 games, a 106-win defending champion in a one-game playoff versus a team that just won 19 of 22. This is just incredible for the Dodgers. You know Kershaw's out. You know Muncy's out. Max Scherzer to the mound versus Adam Wainwright. Go to the LA Times today. Our friend Bill Plaschke writing up that nobody will challenge the Dodgers like these Cardinals because it's nine innings of baseball right here, not a seven-game series. Ramona, is that true? Is that fair? And then after you answer all that, we'll ask you what you expect tonight.
It's probably true. I mean, look, they swept the Braves and they swept the Brewers at home in the last couple months of the season here. So those are the two teams playing in the other divisional series there. This is a game seven. It's a wild card that feels like a game seven. And I feel bad for the Dodgers that they're in this. They won 106 games. And they're in the wild card against a team that won 17 in a row. And the Cardinals have won 10 straight on the road. The Dodgers won 10 straight at home. Something's got to break here. And I think the key to this game here is I think the Dodgers have put a lot of their hopes on Max Scherzer because he's been in so many big games. He beat them in big games. He's been great since he came over. They won all 11 of his starts. He's 7-0. But the last two starts, people may not have been paying attention. He has been very hittable. He's given up 10 runs and 17 hits in the last 10 and a third innings that he's pitched. So he has not been lights out Max Scherzer in the last two games. Not the way you want to go into a game.
But I want to get back to what you said. You said you feel bad for the Dodgers for playing in this game?
That's baseball. There's no crying in baseball. You know, and it's kind of their fault. They had two series against the Giants.
Exactly.
Where if you wanted to win the NL West, they dropped 2 of 3 up in San Francisco. They had their ace on the mound, Walker Buehler, and he didn't win.
Okay, so don't feel bad for them is my point. Go ahead, J.A. Dande.
I mean, Ramona, can't you feel bad that Max Muncy gets hurt in the last game? game of the regular season.
About that.
So now he's been such an important part of the team. He won't be available tonight, or probably throughout most of the postseason. They've been battling injuries all year. Clayton Kershaw, who, you know, Dave Roberts in the past has shown that he wouldn't mind throwing Kershaw in relief in an important game with the season on the line. That's not an option right now because he's out and injured. The angst that's going to be going on at Dodger Stadium, all the pressure is on them. You know, if the Cardinals lose this game, hey, it's been a good season. They got on a hot run. There weren't that high expectations for them. The Dodgers, the defending champions, all that money spent on the roster, the trade for Scherzer and Turner, and it could all go poof tonight.
Kevin Blackstone, how do you register tonight's game?
Well, you ask, is it fair? It's absolutely not fair, but I did a survey in Washington, D.C. about how many Washington National fans feel badly for the Dodgers, and the number is zero, all right? Zero. This is going to be fun to watch. The Cardinals are playing with house money, as we like to say in a situation like this. They got guys who are hitting all of a sudden who weren't hitting during the earlier part of this year. How many home runs did O'Neill have in the month of September alone? And not only that, Wainwright 13. Is pitching. He has more experience in the postseason and a lower ERA, I think like 2.39 in the postseason, than does Max Scherzer. So that is something for them to hang their hopes on.
And Pablo Torre, when you consider tonight's game, you have the defending champ who won 106 games, but it's 9 innings right now.
No, I want to be the Cardinals, Tony. I want to be the team that has been able to prepare for this specific game. My lineup is set for this game, pitching and hitting. The fact is, the Dodgers did have to burn their ace to try and win a division that they did not win, so they were actually playing meaningful baseball at the end of the regular season, where the Cardinals, who won 90 games, got to sit back and relax. I want to be the relaxed team. I want to be the team, by the way, that is going to, I think, have an advantage against Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer, second highest fly ball rate in the major leagues as a starting pitcher. The Cardinals have hit more home runs than anyone in the major leagues in the month of September. This is a matchup uniquely tonight that favors St. Louis.
Wow, now I'm hearing this panel's leaning St. Louis. Ramona, last word on this series. Make a pick, or this game, I should say. Make a pick and tell me how it's going to be won.
If I pull a Kalishaw and call a home run, is that going to work? I'll say Mookie Betts, a home run in the first inning. It's a low-scoring game. Let's say 2-1, Dodgers.
Adonde?
I have a bad feeling about this. I think Wainwright goes through the Dodger lineup.
Trey Turner makes a desperate slide at home to win the game.
Pablo Torre, you've got St. Louis.
Yes, Lars Nootbaar, give me him.
I had a bad word from Mr. Blackstone today, so he's going to lose a point right here for that. It rhymes with problematic, let's just say that. We'll take a break, buy or sell that.
I've heard that before.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
NFL news of the day. Are you ready for it? I'm not sure you're ready for it. The Chicago Bears naming Justin Fields starting quarterback going forward. QB1. And that's real, okay? Matt Nagy's long regional and national indecision now decisive. J.A., you're there. What do you buy? What do you sell this decision meaning?
I buy that Fields has now earned it, and I buy that actually Matt Nagy's earned the right to say that he's earned it, because if there's one thing Nagy didn't do was rush to put Fields in the starting lineup, to the chagrin of Bears fans. So if he's finally ready to proclaim him ready to start, then I think that Fields has shown him something that he hadn't previously.
Kevin Blackstone.
Is he really the coach? Are we sure about that? Or is he still just pretending like he's the coach? Look, it's a great decision. They were headed this direction anyway. And you saw under a new scheme what Justin Fields could do. And to me, the most important stat, he wasn't sacked like 100 times as he was the week beforehand.
So you think the scheming they did in his second game, not his first game, but his second game, proves that he's ready for this. Pablo, do you believe Fields is ready for this? Do you believe Nagy is ready for this?
I believe Fields is the right choice here. I believe Matt Nagy has made this decision, though, while draining all of the credit that he might have gotten from it. Like, the fact that he didn't say this after the game on Sunday, because they said Andy Dalton, still the starter if healthy, like earlier this week, it makes me think that, oh, there is no actual plan. He's just reacting to things, and a flaw for a coach might be badly reacting to things. So, yeah, I'd still be terrified.
Ramona, do you view this as Justin Fields earning it? Do you view that view it as Matt Nagy getting it right finally, or do you just view it as everybody's hands are tied and they needed to make a decision?
Did he even make a decision, or was the decision made for him? I mean, Justin Fields was good in that last game. And at some point, you know, the public pressure to put Justin Fields in the game was immense. Obviously, after that first start where Nagy was calling the plays and it was a disaster, he was sacked the whole time, that was tough. But as soon as they let the offensive coordinator call the plays, they were great. He was under center 54% of the time. He was so good, I don't know how he could have not made him the starter.
Buy or sell two, Stephon Gilmore was Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL, the whole league, in 2019. This afternoon, he was traded by the New England Patriots to the Carolina Panthers for a sixth-round pick next year. Gilmore has been on the PUP list, can't come off until two more weeks, wanted a restructured contract, and New England trading him instead. Kevin Blackstone, buy or sell?
I'm going to buy it just because we've seen the Patriots do this before and somehow it's worked out. I mean, Lawyer Malloy, Richard Seymour, Jamie Collins, they continue to do this. Cam Newton cut at the beginning of the year, and it looks like the youngster that they have under center has a really bright future. So it doesn't seem right after you get rid of Tom Brady. You don't sign him, but this is what they do.
Pablo.
Tony, as the father of a little daughter, I have lots of baby stuff that I have in my home that I just want taken off my hands because I need space. I will let people have it for the cost of getting it out of my apartment. This is what Bill Belichick and the Patriots have done. They don't need it anymore, but they'd like it away. And so congrats to the Panthers on getting a real steal on some baby stuff.
I'm sure Violet is great in your defensive backfield. And I'm sure she's on the level of a Defensive Player of the Year. But Stephon Gilmore, Ramona, was Defensive Player of the Year in the league like 17 months ago. Do you question this?
No, they spent a lot of money on that defense. They spent a lot of money in free agency. And then when they came back around to take care of him, they said, sorry, we don't have a lot left. And, he already got an advance on his salary of $5 million last year. So, you know, Tom Brady decided a couple of times over the course of his career the Patriots would do this salary cap math and wizardry with Brady. And he wanted to be there, so he played along with that game. Gilmore didn't want to play along with the game, so they leave him. And, you know, you lose some institutional knowledge, but they got plenty of that in sitting in the gray hoodie.
And, Adonda, how do you see this?
Tony, you're stuck on 2019 when we're talking about the ultimate what have you done for me lately franchise that moved on from Tom Brady. So you're surprised they moved on from a defensive back who's coming off a major injury and is in his 30s. And you wonder if losing to Tom Brady, now that the book has finally been closed on that, it has liberated them to say, you know what, let's just concentrate on moving forward now and forget everything about the past.
Anything you're trying to get off your hands right now, Pablo? A baby Bjorn? Let's go around the Bjorn. Let's go. Buy or sell three.
Yes.
The Nets.
Yes.
Still unclear on Kyrie Irving's vaccine intentions, preparing possibly for him to miss home games and practices going forward. This is the report from Woj and Windhorst. Pablo, buy or sell the Nets going forward with Irving missing half the season and all the home practices?
I buy that this is about to get real awkward, man, because the guy who makes real decisions in that organization is Kevin Durant, and they're going to have to turn to him and say, hey, man, what do you want to do about this starting point guard we got that can't even practice at home, let alone play 50% of the games when you factor in, like, the games against the Knicks, for instance? So it's a big problem. I don't envy the Nets for having to make a decision on this because it'll maybe tear them apart.
Ramona, what are you hearing here?
Look, this is the first evidence we have of any kind of pushback against Kyrie Irving and his stance. You know, the immediate everybody was saying it's not going to be a distraction. We're going to even give him space. We're optimistic he'll get it. But now you're starting to hear a little pushback, and I think that's very significant because they have James Harden now. Kyrie does not have the same leverage now that they have James Harden. He is not as important. as part of a big three than he was as part of a big two.
Jay Adande?
Yeah, you wonder if Kyrie's priorities are maintaining his convictions and sticking to them or winning a championship with the Nets. Because right now, those two things are not compatible. And the Do My Own Research crowd might want to research the COVID cases in New York because the daily cases in the state are currently right around the same number where they were in August when this rule went into effect requiring vaccinations. So that's not about to change anytime soon.
KB.
You got to sell this. They need to get rid of Kyrie Irving. You cannot go into a season knowing that somebody can only be available half the time. And then if you get into the playoffs, maybe less than half the time if you consider the fact that you're probably a team that finishes in the top tier of your conference. Ridiculous.
Simone, absolutely do you ridiculous. See Brooklyn getting rid of Kyrie as a likely scenario here or an unlikely scenario at this point?
I wouldn't say likely, but I think it's more in play than it was a week or two ago.
Donde, Blackstone, thank you for your time today. Shelburne, Tori, let's go around the Bjorn. Bring the kids. Showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Top seeds in danger, grave danger. Is there any other kind? Sky has given the sun all it can handle, as it does. And ever since dropping game one, the Mercury have smoked the Aces. Ramona Shelburne, Pablo Torre, welcome to Showdown. Momo, what will it take for Connecticut and Las Vegas to extend their seasons?
Well, Kinetic needs the MVP, Jonquel Jones, to play like the MVP. In this series, she was good in game one. Games two and three, she had 4 points and 10 points. That's not MVP-level performance. And I know the Sky is just sending a bunch of defenders at her inside, but she's got to get going, and she's got to make it moving. The Aces, though, they need to play some defense. They were second in the league in the regular season, giving up 98 points a game during the playoffs.
Pablo?
But for the Aces, Tony, Asia Wilson, man, the reigning MVP. She averaged 18.7 points a game, I believe, in the regular season. Now down to 11-something. Breonna Turner has absolutely shut her down, down low especially. It is a problem. If you don't have your best player playing anything like it.
Speaking of best player, Diana Taurasi, one of the greats, maybe having a baby any moment. Pablo, maybe you should get on the phone and give her some of the stuff that you had in the meantime.
I have some available.
Ramona Shelburne, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Bouncer.
Pau Gasol retired yesterday from basketball after 19 seasons. And, you know, those of us in L.A. have spent a lot of time with Pau. And I'll tell you this, one of the ways you know what a nice player and a nice guy Pau Gasol is when you're short like me. I'm 5'2", okay? And a seven foot tall player comes over to you and says, wants to do an interview. You know what Powell always used to do? He used to bend down so he would become more at my level. Like he would go out wide and he would bend down and he would come down to my. He was so nice. Who does that? What superstar does that? Pau Gasol, one of the great guys in the NBA. Congratulations on a great career.
We're on a 23.5 hour break.
Bend down and patted Chris Paul's
head. See you later, Ramona.
Bye, everybody.
Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.